Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
One of my favorite all-time quotes comes from G.K. Chesterton, who said, "It's amazing how many things there are that aren't so." I love that, because it's so true. And here's a good example of me getting caught in thinking that something was the way it was, but in fact, it really wasn't. And it's an odd story, but I think an entertaining one. I was in Inner Mongolia with a group of other photographers attending a Chinese photography conference. And during the conference, each of us were to get up and give a presentation of our work, slideshow kind of thing. And a photographer from somewhere here on the East Coast, I've forgotten where, got up to do her work, and it was very heady stuff, with references to previous generations of Dutch painters and the psychology used in creating that kind of artwork, and how she was trying to do something with photography that harkened back and connected with history. And it was very heady, very intellectual sort of presentation. She got done. Time for the question and answer period. And as we had observed with all the other speakers, there were lots of questions, and up went the hands, and the translator called on one of the Chinese photographers to ask his question. And he said, through the translator, "Can you tell me which version of Photoshop you are using?" And I thought, what a strange question. And I still kind of chuckle at it. But when it comes to the thing that isn't so, I shouldn't be chuckling at it. Because, you know, that's a pretty pertinent question when you get right down to it. There are so many things that the technology can accomplish today that it couldn't accomplish 10 years ago, that it might become an important thing to know which version of software was being used to create a piece of artwork. The earlier the version of software, the less capabilities it had, and that might be a reflection on the work itself. And that got me thinking about dates and time and the era of a photograph. And there are some observations about that I want to go over today. Let me ask you this. When was Edward Weston's famous Pepper No. 30 photographed? Do you know the dates? I don't. I can look them up. And when I look them up, sometimes that's significant in my thinking, but I don't remember the date because it's not a crucial part of interpreting and enjoying that artwork. How about Ansel Adams' classic Moonrise over Hernandez? I know lots and lots of you can pull that image up in your mental gallery instantly. It's a famous Ansel Adams image. When was it photographed? Some of you probably know. Most of you probably don't. Or Dorothea Lange's now iconic image, Migrant Mother. What year was that photographed? Oh, now, see, we're starting to get somewhere. Because you probably don't know the year that Migrant Mother was photographed, but I'll bet you do know the era, particularly if you know that she was working for the Farm Securities Administration. And that helps you put it in time, not to the year, not to the day, but at least to the era. Can you tell me the sequence in which they were photographed? That is to say, can you put them in chronological order? Well, unless you know the year, you can't. But is it important that you know the chronological order of these three images by these three different photographers? Well, let me answer these questions just for grins. Pepper No. 30 was photographed in 1930. So a mnemonic aid might help us there, because Pepper No. 30 photographed in 1930, we might be able to remember that in the future. Moonrise over Hernandez was photographed in 1941. Migrant Mother was photographed in 1936, the Dust Bowl era. And the story of the Dust Bowl makes sense when it comes to Migrant Mother, because that's a bit of the context and background we need in order to interpret what's going on with Migrant Mother. But the year they were photographed? I don't know that we need to know the year. We certainly don't need to know the month or the day. But the era can sometimes be important. Or as far as that goes, let's take a different example. Let's take three images from one photographer, Ansel Adams. He's always a good one to talk about. So can you tell me the chronological order of Monolith Face of Half Dome, Clearing Winter Storm, and Moonrise Over Hernandez? Again, I would be willing to bet that almost all of you know these three images. But does the chronological order in which they were produced make a difference to you? Will it change the way you understand and interpret these images? What's the sequence in which Ansel Adams created them? Do you know? Does it make a difference? Well, I would propose that it definitely makes a difference to the photographer, because being an artist is a progression that builds upon itself. But that's not true for a viewer. Rarely do we look at work chronologically. Now, just to answer the question, the chronological order of these images were, first, Monolith Face of Half Dome was photographed in 1927. Then, Clearing Winter Storm, 10 years later, in 1937. And Moonrise Hernandez in 1941. Ansel Adams was born in 1902. That means Monolith Face of Half Dome was photographed when he was 25. Clearing Winter Storm was photographed 10 years later when he was 35. And Moonrise Over Hernandez was photographed in 1941 when he was 39. He was a young man when he did all of these. But we also know that he continued to photograph into his 70s. How does that change the way we think about these three images? All these dates are important, well, for biographers and for historians, and perhaps even for provenance issues for collectors. But for the rest of us, these dates are relatively unimportant. But the era in which they were photographed is important. For example, isn't it interesting that Migrant Mother was photographed in 1936 and Clearing Winter Storm in 1937. I don't think of those as contemporary images, but they're photographed about a year apart. So while Dorothea Lange was off photographing the ravages of the Dust Bowl, Ansel Adams was photographing nature's glory and wonderful presence in the magical place of Yosemite in 1937 with Clearing Winter Storm. I think all of this is really interesting stuff. But the dates are less important than the era. If you told me that Dorothea Lange's Migrant Mother and Clearing Winter Storm were photographed in the same era, I would find that sort of interesting, surprising, unexpected, and maybe a clue to these two photographers and their personalities. So I was thinking about eras in photography. There's the era of P.H. Emerson and up to Stieglitz and then to Weston and then to Adams and then Minor White. We can look at a progression through generations that can be informative because we can see how ideas are carried forward through time. And of course, that leads directly to you and me. When we make our pictures, the actual dates, the actual years, probably not all that important, like I say, unless you're a biographer or a historian or a collector. But it does make sense to think about our work in the context of the eras of photography. It might be important to know how pictorialism led to the F64 aesthetic, which led eventually to new topographics, which led to postmodernism. Which brings me round to one of the most interesting workshop comments I've experienced. I was showing work very early in my career at a workshop taught by Stuart Harvey, and he was looking at the work that eventually became my book, Made of Steel. And it was old town America, small town America, very nostalgic looking work that I was producing in the 1980s. And he said, most interestingly enough, I think, he said, you know, with the passage of time, you will be considered a contemporary of Walker Evans. Now, Walker Evans was photographing in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. I'm photographing in the 80s and the 90s and into the new millennium. But I think he's right, because the passage of time compresses dates into eras. And the style of work I was doing back in the 1980s was very similar to the style of work that Walker Evans was doing, even though he is a generation and a half, maybe, or two generations earlier than I was photographing. And he's a famous photographer, and I'm not. But nonetheless, there is a connection, there is a thread between what he was doing, what Dorothea Lange was doing, maybe even what Paul Strand was doing, and what I was doing in the 1980s. Does that change my photography? Probably not. Does that somehow cause my photographs to rise in importance? Clearly not. But from an art maker's point of view, it might be important for me to understand where I fit, where my thinking fits, where my perception fits in the eras of photography, and who are my fellow travelers. Because those are the people that I might be able to learn something from by studying their work. This business about dates gets particularly interesting, too, because how we date our work comes into play. And I don't want to go into this now because I've already talked about this in a previous podcast. And if you're interested in thinking about dates when you produce the work and copyright dates and dates when you print the work and all of that, go back and listen to podcast number 255, The Date of a Print, and I think you'll see how that ties in with this idea. It's fascinating to think about the passage of time in our photography, and I think it is so fascinating partly because of the way ideas flow through time, partly because the nature of photography is to freeze time. There is a very interesting relationship between photography, that is to say, you and me as makers of photographs, and time. And, of course, as they say, time waits for no one.
Copyright 2026, Lenswork Publishing.